Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I have a great episode in store for you today. I had a really fun conversation with Tiffany and Wendy about credit cards. We learned a lot from each other in this episode, and we were really able to gain some valuable insights as well as provide some awesome points and different tips and advice and thoughts about credit cards. I think today's episode really highlights the importance and just the amazingness that comes from talking about money. When you get a group of people who want to share what they know about money and want to learn from each other, you can really have a great conversation around any sort of financial topic. So my main takeaway from today's episode would be to go out and have a money conversation with someone. Go out and find a topic that you both want to learn more about and then share your ideas. So with all that in mind, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have the time to research and learn about all things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Before we get into today's interview and group money talk, let me introduce our guests. So first, we're having on Tiffany Grant. And Tiffany Grant is an accredited financial counselor and an award-winning personal finance blogger, podcaster, coach, and educator. She's been featured on Yahoo Finance, CNBC, Essence, and Acorns as an expert on side hustles, business, and money. Tiffany has helped people and many people become more in tune with their money by providing them financial education in a down-to-earth and relatable format. And you're going to hear a lot of that from today's episode as she shares some different insights that she's gained through her experience in her position in her job. So also on today's episode, we have Wendy Barlin. Wendy has been a CPA for over 25 years, and she's been advising small business owners on taxes, cash flow, and profitability. Wendy is well poised to explain difficult concepts in simple words so that everyone understands it and has fun. You're going to hear a lot from Wendy today about how you need to keep things simple. She also shares some great advice towards the end about learning about taxes and about who to ask for tax advice. So be sure you stick to the end of this podcast episode because there's a great interview in store. So with all that, let's get right into today's Money Talk. All right, we're here for our second ever group Money Talk episode. I'm really excited for this one. I have Wendy here with me. Go ahead and say hi, Wendy.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. And then as you heard in the beginning, Wendy's a CPA. And then Tiffany, do you want to go ahead and say hello for everyone?
Hey, everyone.
Hi. Awesome. Well, Tiffany's a financial counselor as well. So we're going to go ahead and dive into a really fun topic that I think most people, when they start learning about personal finances, can have a lot of opinions around, the good old credit card. So let's get started right out the gate with what's your just first impressions? You hear the word credit card. What do you think, Wendy?
I think great. Yay. I'm a big fan.
Awesome. How about you, Tiffany?
Yeah. So personally, I'm like, I know that you have to use credit as a tool. And so that is what does get me excited about them. But personally,
Yeah, well, your reaction seems to lead towards something might be wrong with them. Why might credit cards be dangerous? What do you think?
Yeah, so I'm a financial counselor. So I help people that are in debt, trying to pay off credit cards. And I see firsthand, and also just in my upbringing, I saw firsthand how they can be dangerous and detrimental to people's financial well-being. So that's my only thing. You know, if you don't use it responsibly, it could get you in a whole lot of trouble. And that's usually what I see on a daily basis.
Yeah. So it comes from personal experience there that you can see it being used in the wrong way, and that can lead to a whole lot of harm. But Wendy, you were super excited when I said the word credit card, but don't you agree that it can be a little bit dangerous? if you're not.
I do, just right? Like anything, right? If you eat too much food, your health suffers. Anything in excess is never a good idea. For me, as an immigrant, I would never have been able to even buy furniture if it wasn't for a credit card. So I learned very quickly how to use 0% interest credit cards, how to get mileage. I mean, we take our family vacation every year on mileage. So I haven't paid for an air ticket in over 10 years. But we are diligent in how we use credit cards, and we use the facilities that they offer without incurring the expense of interest debt. And so I think, can you use credit cards smartly? Absolutely. But it's the same as anything. Overeating, overindulging is only going to cause problems.
Yeah, I like what you said in the beginning there, that like sometimes there's a situation where you just wouldn't be able to get by without them. And even utilizing the other ones, like if there's a really low interest one, if you're going to have to go that route, just being smart with it all the way around and making sure you're not getting like the best ultimate rewards card that has a 25% interest rate when you know you're going to have to carry a balance.
Correct. And that's exactly the part about being smart and educating yourself about what am I signing up for? What is this? And I understand the credit card company has to make money, but what's my benefit? And and as I say, it has gotten me out of a jam many times. I found myself in a position of getting divorced and being left with $55,000 in credit card debt. So I don't sit here and say I've never had it. I've had it. I know how it feels when those bills start coming. But I paid it off by rolling it to 0% interest credit cards, figuring out how long I had that interest, that zero for, and making sure I got it paid so that I didn't pay interest. And that was hard. Those were hard times. But there were definitely benefits. If I didn't have those credit cards where I could roll them to zeros, what would I have done? Where would I have gotten that money from? I don't have any family or anyone to help me. So credit cards have saved me many a time.
Yeah, because if you think about the interest working against you in that kind of a situation, that can be like just debilitating to your financial situation. And Tiffany, I'm sure you've seen that before, I assume.
Absolutely. And so to piggyback on what Wendy's saying, you have to have discipline, right? So I do not recommend credit cards to people that do not have discipline yet, because discipline is something that you have to kind of build up and also gain the knowledge around. And if you are not there yet, then they can do more harm than good. So I highly recommend. Now, don't get me wrong, I love credit cards for like the rewards and the benefits and things like that. But if we're dealing with someone that's not disciplined enough to use it as a tool instead of income, because that's usually where people go wrong. They use credit cards as income instead of a tool to help them. So if we're at that situation, then, you know, credit cards, I generally say kind of stay away until you're ready to use them.
Yeah, well, that was perfect. You segued right into my next point of why should we avoid them altogether? And I think just like you said, it's a discipline thing, using it as a tool instead of like your primary resource. Your credit limit isn't how much you really should be spending. You should be looking at your budget and other tools like that. You shouldn't just be trying to max out your credit card at all times, because like then you find yourself in just a ton of debt, or you suddenly realize you're in a situation where you never would have expected yourself to be in. But Wendy or Tiffany, why would you want to avoid them altogether? I know Tiffany's already added a little bit to that, but Wendy, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think you should ever. I mean, first, the other thing that comes into this conversation is your credit score, right? So if you avoid credit cards altogether, guess what? Your credit score doesn't grow. Three active credit cards being used at a low rate, not maxing them out, low rate, will get you the perfect credit score. So my ex-husband had a better credit score than me. He was unemployed, but he had three credit cards that he was using, and the car lease was in his name. So you can't, in my opinion, in my experience, you can't avoid credit cards altogether and then expect to have a really good credit score, which unfortunately is something that our society still puts benefit on, even though it's a crazy number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what you said there. Like you maybe can't avoid them altogether, or you shouldn't, but to go to Tiffany's point, you got to have the discipline in place to use them appropriately. And if using them at that low volume, to me, I think that just means putting like a subscription on there and just setting up auto pay, like don't use the actual card. Right. What do you think about that, Tiffany? What about that advice?
Yeah. So generally, I help people that already have credit card debt, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I'm saying don't use them all together, I mean, if you're already in credit card debt, you're carrying a balance from month to month, you're trying to pay them off, there's no need in using it because the payments that you're making are already building your credit score. Right. So I would say if you are in that type of situation, because unfortunately, like Wendy said, you have to have credit to get credit. And see, for me, I was terrified of credit when I was young, like, you know, younger, starting off because of what I saw. But I realized, okay, Tiffany, you have to do this. You just have to pull the Band-Aid off and do it. And so I did. But a misconception out there is that you have to carry a balance. You absolutely do not have to carry a balance to build your credit score. You can pay off what you already have, and that will also build your score. Or if you don't have credit card debt, you can use it for a small purchase. Like Wendy said, like when I was going through my whole debt-free and credit journey, I would just get gas and then pay it off immediately. You don't have to wait for them to put out the statement and carry a balance and all that stuff. You can just pay it off. And so I think there's a lot of misconceptions around credit cards. And I'm glad that we having this discussion today because we can kind of clear some of that up.
Yeah. And I think if I don't do a video podcast, but if you were watching, both Wendy and I are just like nodding aggressively in agreement with what Tiffany had to say there. Because like us three in our perspective, maybe having more of a insight into like personal finance and the behavior about it, we all agree with those things. You don't need to be carrying a balance. You don't need to be racking up interest and things like that. But that's not something that everyone necessarily knows. So we're having this conversation now. How Wendy, do you think other people, like someone listening who is hearing this advice for the first time, how do they talk about this with others? What do you think? Like, how do they get started with a conversation like this?
I think it's back to the old adage of don't spend what you don't have, you know. So when I use a credit card, just like Tiffany was saying, when I spend $100 on a credit card this month, I know I have $100 in my checking account and I will pay off that credit card. So I don't spend money I don't have. That's a different, very dangerous play, period. And so the idea of using a credit card is that I use the credit card, I get my miles, and then when the bill comes or the end of the week, I take the money out of my checking account and I pay off the credit card. So I got my miles and I had the cash. I didn't incur debt. And so I think the difference between using credit cards constructively and incurring debt, those are two very different concepts.
Yeah, Tiffany, how do you think, like when you're talking with people about this for the first time, how do you begin that conversation?
Well, first of all, like people are typically surprised. You know, I do a lot of, you know, education around a lot of the misconceptions out there, because financial education is what I specialize in. And it's amazing how many people believe that this is actually true. And so they're incurring debt and paying interest for really no reason. And the only people that love it is the credit card companies. They absolutely love people that do that. They do not like the people like Wendy because they don't get to make any money. And so I tell people, you know, don't pay them more than what you need to. And the only way to do that is to not carry a balance and make sure that you're not paying interest on whatever cars that you do have. It just goes back to, you know, not using credit as income, but using it as a tool. If you already have the income in your, let's say, debit account, checking account, then go ahead and use the credit and then pay it off immediately or, you know, as soon as possible. Yeah. So completely agree with Wendy there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Just make sure you know the money is allocated towards paying off that credit card so you don't double up on spending it.
Right.
And one thing that I was thinking about while you were both talking about like making sure the credit card companies aren't making money off of you, I thought about it one time. It's like, what if everyone was using a credit card in the way we're describing? One, our credit card rewards would be terrible, but it's almost like a trade-off that if everyone was using them appropriately, there'd be so many other ways people would be in just better financial situations. So like, please don't pay interest for the sake of us getting our rewards. Like we don't need you. We don't need the credit cards making money off everyone else. And that's why they're able to offer such nice rewards to the people that are taking care of their credit card bills. So I thought about that before, and just everyone would be in such a better situation if credit card debt wasn't a thing. but they can be a great tool. And Tiffany, why do you think, if you had to say everyone needs to use a credit card, why would you say they do?
Oh, because you have to have credit to get credit. So, you know, I started off with one card and that was Capital One, and I'm not endorsed by them anyway.
Me too.
But they are I found them to be very easy to qualify for generally. And so my first one was Capital One. It was like $200 limit or something like that. And what I really like about them is that they'll increase it automatically once you show that you have been using it responsibly and things like that. And so if you look at what goes into a credit score, your credit utilization, your overall credit limit, and so on and so forth, I'm not going to name them all out, but those are the ones that are most important in this conversation. And so if you have someone that's increasing your credit limit, that's also going to increase your score, you know, incrementally, but it'll also increase your score without having to do a hard inquiry. And so what I love and what I used to do was every 6 months or so, I would request a credit limit increase after they stopped doing the automatic ones. And it worked for a while, for a few years, until they caught on and said, you don't use enough of our balance and cut me off. But that's what I, you know, do like about getting credit is that it does increase your credit score. And I only have three that I have and, you know, use occasionally. I only use my cards once every 6 months or so, just so they don't administratively close it. But other than that, I love it. And I was able to buy my first house at 26 because I built my credit score up like that. So that's why I recommend, you know, getting it, but just using it responsibly.
Yeah. Wendy, if you had to say everyone needs to have a credit card, why would that be? Why do you think they're a good tool to have in your back pocket?
Because I do think when you don't have a plan B and something awful happens, God forbid, right? Those situations where you have a car wreck or you need medical attention and you don't have the cash for whatever reason, that credit card can save you. So yes, the side effects of having to pay it off might be awful, but it, for many people, it's that or the street. And so I'm not a big proponent ever of debt for debt's sake, but there've been many situations in my life where I have not had anyone to help me. And if I didn't have that credit card to put tires on my car or fix a blown out window in my home, I don't know what I would have done. And so in the worst case scenario, I think credit cards are absolutely essential to have, like Tiffany was saying, with a balance on that you don't use. In fact, I was taught early on to put them in the freezer. Don't even carry them in your purse. Put them in the freezer so they're there if you need them, but you don't carry it every day. The only piece I'll say about carrying it every day and using it periodically is that when there is fraud, and we're seeing so much fraud today, the credit card companies are phenomenal at replacing your card, shutting it down, and giving you your money back. When you have fraud on a debit card, or you have a check stolen out of the mail, it is almost impossible to get your money back. You might get it back, but it's going to be months. And so I absolutely flatly do not allow my clients to use checks. And if they must use a debit card, I tell them only in the smallest amounts, because I see at gas stations and restaurants, the fraud on debit cards. And then you go to pay your rent and guess what? Your money's gone. And you're not going to get back for 60 days. Whereas with a credit card, if that happens within 24 hours, it's gone. The credit card company takes care of it. So for me, that's another big thing that I think people need to, in today's world of fraud, be very aware of.
Yeah, I was a contact center supervisor for a credit union. And that was kind of what like sparked my interest in personal finance. But also I've seen so many situations like you're describing, Wendy, where someone had a check copied and it's just like procedures are in place to almost not move quickly. Yes. but for some reason with a credit card, everything just gets streamlined. So I also like your point about, Tiffany, did you have something to say about that?
Yeah, well, just really quick, I thought I was the only one that put my cards in the freezer. So I feel so good right now that there's somebody else that does that. Because usually when I say that, people are like, what? Like, put them in the freezer? But I'm like, yeah, because if you have to use them, you have to thaw it out and you have to think about it. And so it gives you that pause. So that way you don't just use it for anything. So I just wanted to say thank you for bringing that up, Wendy.
Yeah, I love the idea too, because I was listening to something a few weeks ago talking about just adding enough friction to our life to make us think about it. Like, we do so many things habitually. There was a podcast guest on, I think, Choose FI recently that was talking about how if there's something in your car that you need to make sure you don't forget, put your shoe back there because it's just enough to make you think. He was talking about how sometimes, like, it's not a good or bad parent thing to, like, if someone accidentally leaves their child in the car, just because you habitually drive somewhere and get out of the car and you don't know something's in the back seat because you aren't used to that. So, but put a shoe somewhere and that'll remind you when you step out on the hot asphalt.
That is funny.
But yeah, just enough friction to make you think about it. Like in your case, it's the freezer. Sometimes it's, I don't know. There's a whole host of things. Think of something just to make yourself think about it just enough. But also, I wanted to talk a little bit about your point, Wendy, about having those credit cards as like your ultimate safety net. Because obviously an emergency fund is important to have. But if you're stranded and the only thing you have is a credit card that has a high limit because you can't get to cash, or like, who knows, maybe everything's going wrong at once and your debit card's locked, but you have your credit card there that can help you out. I really like that point of having it as like the ultimate safety net, because sometimes you just can't get by. And like you said, if you're going into debt because you need to survive, I think that's okay. Like if you have to pay a little bit of interest because it was the difference between the streets, like you were saying, or taking care of what needs to be taken care of, I think everyone can agree that situations like that, obviously you have to be careful, but those are okay.
And I'll just add, you know, that's why it's important to keep them paid down, because if you do run into a situation like that, and let's say you're already maxed out, then what, you know, there's no way to even cover anything like that. So that's why it's important to make sure you do have a balance available at any given time.
Yeah, I like that, because it's if going with the safety net analogy, if your safety net's already full and you have one more thing and it breaks, like then what good is it? So keep it available and ready for you. Well, awesome. I think that's all of my main points. Did either of you two have anything else you wanted to add about credit cards or experiences you have with them that you'd want to share?
Not really. I'd say shop around. Not all credit cards are made equal. One of the websites I use as a resource is bankrate.com. I don't know if Tiffany might have some others, but don't just go to your local bank, you know, and get their credit card. There are a lot of different cards out there, a lot of different companies out there, all offering different payment terms and interest rates and all kinds of things. So educate yourself about what's out there and don't just take the first one that shows up in the mail.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'm so glad you brought up the mail, because usually when you get, you know, those pre-approval offers and things like that, whether it's on an app like Credit Karma, which is not, I don't like them doing that, or in the mail, then, you know, usually it's still not the best terms that you could possibly get. So like Wendy said, I highly recommend shopping around. I actually just did an episode on how to pick the best card for you. So highly recommend listening to that, or going to the blog to read that as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for mentioning that, because that reminded me of the one thing I almost forgot, is to make sure you guys get a chance to plug yourself. So we'll start with Wendy. What are you up to? What do you do for work? How can people connect with you if they liked something you said and want to touch base?
Well, thank you, Skylar. So I'm a CPA. I do tax education. So you can find me at wendybarland.com. There's lots of free resources, tax worksheets, and I help people find more tax deductions, because there is so much misinformation on the web. And I find people going to their cousins and their grannies and their book club for tax advice. It's frightening. So either as groups, downloadable courses, free worksheets, or one-on-one time with me, I offer tax education, 25 years advising people on how to maximize their tax deductions.
Awesome. Yeah, it's like asking just some random person for like car repair advice. You have the people you should go to. There's experts out there, so make sure you connect with them. Thank you. Tiffany, what have you been up to? You just mentioned one of your recent blog posts, but what have you been up to?
Yeah, so I'm an accredited financial counselor. This is my full-time job. I love helping people come up with plans to get out of debt or budget or whatever the case may be. So you can find me at moneytalkwitht.com, and my podcast is Money Talk with Tiff. And I'm all over. Last I checked, my blog had like 200 and some articles. I specialize in financial education. I love educating people about everything financial. So you can probably search whatever is you're interested in and find something. And if you don't, then let me know so that way I can create it. And you can also find me on all social media platforms at Money Talk with T.
Awesome. I like that we're both going on the Money Talk idea and the Money Talk presence, because just not enough people are talking about money. That's why I think these group conversations are especially helpful, because like what just happened here, Tiffany connected with someone who she didn't know also froze their credit cards. Those kind of things can happen really easily. If you're just talking to other people about money, you can learn a lot. You can really just gain a lot of experience. And that's how we all do better with money. So Wendy and Tiffany, thank you both for coming on. I appreciate it. That was a fun conversation about credit cards.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well, thank you for listening to an awesome, just really fun conversation about credit cards. And anything you've heard in the episode about our two guests, be sure to check out the show notes so that you can go check out their content they're putting out and go get help with whatever you need if there was something that stood out. So if you want to connect with either of our two guests, make sure you check out the show notes, or on social media, I'll make sure to tag them in the post for this episode. But what a fun episode this was. Thank you to Tiffany and Wendy for coming on. I had a really good time recording this episode, and I hope everyone listening was able to gain some new insight about credit cards or learn something a little bit more about credit cards and how you can use them as a good tool in your personal financial belt. But one way you can help this podcast grow is by sharing it with a friend. So if you had anything insightful come from this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend and use that as an opportunity to have a money talk with someone. Say, hey, I learned this about credit cards. I learned that you don't need to be carrying a balance. And I've heard you mention before that you hate paying interest on credit cards. Let's talk about that a little bit. Go listen to this podcast episode and then let's discuss it. I think that can be a really great starting point for having a really healthy and fun money talk. But thank you for listening to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.